broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Cosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is indeed the broadcast for November the 10th in the year of our Lord, 2016. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. We're also convinced the checks and balances put in place by our founders, absolutely brilliant, one of the great solutions to restore the republic. One of them was exercised on Tuesday night, Donald Trump victorious. I personally believe it was a landslide, but due to vote fraud and manipulation by the mainstream, they make it sound like, hey, Hillary won the popular vote, and Donald won the Electoral College, and therefore Donald's president, and Hillary didn't want to give her concession speech, but she finally had to, and Donald Trump takes the helm, and man, there's riots in the streets. But I believe there's a lot more support for Donald Trump, sometimes maybe not by first choice, but by necessity, because Hillary is so evil. The battle continues to rage. But remember, ladies and gentlemen, we don't stand for a revolution. We stand for a restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. A quick recap of yesterday's program. We talked about a lot of stuff. We had our guest on, Mr. Larry Pratt, gunowners.org. He was with us. Quote, you're hired. Donald Trump is elected as the 45th president of the United States of America. As of 2:42 a.m., Wednesday morning, Donald Trump had 276 electoral votes. Hillary had 218. You got to have 270 to win. Done deal. Several states, I guess there's a couple of states, two or three that are still in the mix. Trump wins in what they call historic uprising. Not only do they keep the Oval Office, but they keep the House and the Senate. President Trump will have a Republican House, Senate, and Supreme Court, and likely to put more Supreme Court appointees there. So time will tell how conservative the court really gets. Really, there's a mandate like no other. Donald Trump will become the 45th president of the United States. They say it was a historic victory for political outsiders and a stunning defeat for the establishment. That's what CNN says about it. Fed up with Washington, Trump's, quote, deplorable shakeup delivers the elite defeat, Reuters. Win or lose, Donald Trump is emasculated. The ruling class, writes Patrick J. Buchanan, and boy, is he on target. Huffington Post, they used to write on every little story they'd write about Donald a note, hey, Donald's a racist and a sexist, and they pulled all that. Russian President Vladimir Putin congratulates Donald Trump on his win even before Hillary did. Wolf Blitzer simply could not accept the fact that Hillary conceded to Trump. Yeah, Hillary refused to address her supporters on election night, sent Podesta to do the dirty work as she went home. And from what we understand right now, Hillary's absolutely inconsolable. Catherine Cortez Masco, a Democrat, won in Nevada to become the first Latino senator, defeating Joe Heck. I guess the bottom line is that's Harry Reid's seat. Good old Harry, thank the good Lord, is retired. And by the way, Kurt Cosby, James Edwards, and Matt Drudge were right all along. They predicted a Trump defeat right from the very beginning. I predicted due to corruption, due to flat out.
You mean a Trump victory?
Oh, what did I say? Sorry.
Trump defeat.
Oh, you guys predicted a Trump victory. I predicted a Trump defeat only because I thought the corruption was so great. Vote fraud was so great. And the media manipulation was so great that Trump couldn't overcome it all. However, in the last several weeks to month, I jumped on board and said, you know what? I think you guys are right. I pray you're right. And boy, was Kurt Cosby, James Edwards, and Drudge correct all along. Wow. Nobody predicted this, says Chris Matthews on MSNBC. He needs to listen to Liberty Roundtable Live. Kurt would have told him. If Mr. Trump wins, this is Megyn Kelly, Fox News. The pollsters were dead wrong. Their predictions were not worth the paper they were printed on. She asked her colleagues, you tell me if the polling industry after this is done. Well, all came true, Megan. Now what do you say? You were the one that argued with Newt Gingrich and everybody else and said, oh, Donald can't win. Look at the polls, look at the polls, look at the polls. But scientific predictors showed Donald was going to win. The new media, Kirk Cosby and James Edwards and Drudge said Trump was going to win. Megan, maybe you should have listened and done a little less arguing. Anyway, the Bushman family, me and my wife and children went to In-N-Out Burger right after the Trump win to celebrate. And my wife says, hey, how fitting, how historically relevant will this memory be forever? We're going to In-N-Out Burger to celebrate that Trump's in and Hillary's out. Obama's out. So there you have that. Dozens of celebrities vowed to leave the country if Donald Trump won the White House, saying they'd go anywhere from Canada to Jupiter. My response is, don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. Bye. See you later. Get out. Go. You guys have fun somewhere else and see how you like it. Pretty soon you'll be begging to come back as an illegal, won't you? Are all these entertainers going to make good on their promise? I doubt it. Best news ever, though, by the way, 27% of federal employees say they just might quit if Donald wins. That's the attrition we're looking for on the spot. Let these people voluntarily take a hike. Otherwise, we might have to do like The Apprentice and say, you're fired. California and other states, okay, recreational marijuana use. Carbon tax measure, thank heavens, goes down in flames. Yeah. In Washington State, they basically tried to tax CO2, and the people said, have you lost your mind? Trump, quote, we will cancel global warming payments to the United Nations. I hope that happens yesterday. In Utah, Republican Governor Gary Herbert wins. Eric Greitens wins in Missouri, so now they have a Republican governor. Vermont, Republican Governor Phil Scott wins. Indiana Governor Eric Holt, whatever his name is, wins. So, you know, the Republicans really rocked at every level. Donald Trump's victory was a complete rejection of the D.C. establishment, and now there's a mandate to drain the swamp. Ooh. The election's over, ladies and gentlemen, but the fight for pro-life must take center stage. Pollsters suffered a huge embarrassment. Clinton campaign ads, they bought so many ads it'll shock you. But yet, they still came down to a stunning defeat. There you have it. That's a recap of what took place on, what, the morning after the election? There you have it. Kirk Cosby, welcome back, my friend.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
Literally, you're going to start to have to send a lot of these liberals to the psych ward. Many of them are just banging their heads. They're crying. They're inconsolable. They're melting down. They're rioting in the streets all over the country in these big cities, these Democratic strongholds. Hillary's inconsolable. There's a lot of schools now that are saying, you know, we had tests slated. We're going to have to postpone the tests, put in grief counselors and everything else. I kid you not, this is all happening, Kurt. Kurt Stunden.
Well, you know, yeah, it's...
what do you think of all
the
that?
The fallout, I guess you could say.
Yeah. Michael Connelly, well-known attorney at law, leader of the U.S. Justice Foundation and more. Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable, sir.
Good to be with you again, Sam.
What do you say? The liberals literally, I mean, they're inconsolable. The professors are canceling classes, canceling tests, bringing in grief counselors. People are rioting all over the streets. I mean, these liberals just don't know what to do with themselves.
Well, I love it. You know, what can I say? This is the typical liberal reaction. If conservatives and Republicans lose an election, they shake their heads. They go, we'll try again. They go about their business. Liberals lose an election. They run out into the streets. They burn other people's property. They break windows. They riot. They loot. You know, that's the way it works in this country. That's the way they have always worked, at least for the last couple of decades. And
and you're right, because all the protests are now turning violent, they've claimed as well. They're starting trash cans on fire, breaking windows, doing everything you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the way they react. And they think that's going to intimidate the rest of us? I don't think so.
And they ran around, too, saying Donald Trump was the violent one and that he fomented violence. Turned out WikiLeaks proved they were the agitators all along. Now there's a huge news rag. I guess they're calling it a magazine. And the problem is, it was so sure that Hillary was going to win, they created the issue before Hillary won. Well, it hit newsstands. I'll tell you about it. Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, Sam Bushman, Kurt Cosby, Michael Connelly, USJF.net, the U.S. Justice Foundation. He's president thereof, an attorney, well-known constitutional attorney, I might add. So here's the story. This Maine magazine, well-known in America, basically thought Hillary was going to win, so much so that they created a special edition issue just to celebrate the occasion. And what they did is they distributed it to their supply chain, and they said, hey, don't release this till after the election. Well, now that the election happened and they were absolutely dead wrong, now people are starting to sell them and get a hold of copies of this thing. They're saying they're now collector's items, these copies of this magazine. And the company's saying, oh, please send them back. Please send them back. We can't have these out there. I'm calling it a credibility crisis for Newsweek. They had an issue that shows Hillary wins, hitting newsstands. They don't know what to do. They're trying to retract. They can't get it done. What do you think about that, Michael Connelly?
Well, I think that's typical. I mean, the left was so sure of victory that, you know, the pundits and the national news media were predicting it over and over. They were looking at the so-called polls. And by the way, I've questioned the polling for years because I know how they do try to do it. I know they don't do it effectively, and I know they try to skew it in the direction they want it to be. I mean, the whole idea behind the polling this year, for the most part, was we're going to talk to more Democrats, we're going to talk to more liberals, when we do conservatives, we're going to talk to more probable Hillary voters, and we're going to talk to probable Trump voters.
And the proof in the pudding that you're right is even now you look at all these liberal rags, the New York Times on down, and every one of them now are talking about, oh my gosh, all these liberals can't believe this. This is nothing they expected. They feel like they're living in their own subculture because nobody they knew were voting for Donald. And they interview person after person after person about their shock and chagrin, but they're interviewing the minority. Because really, I believe Donald won by a landslide, and what they're now doing is they basically manipulated the polls. They didn't have enough mojo for manipulation to have Hillary win like they had hoped. It was too big of a landslide. But they still engineered and manipulated and committed vote fraud and everything else to the point where they can say, well, Donald barely won. That's their agenda now. And you can see it in their coverage right now. They're interviewing everybody that lost. They're not even talking about the majority that won or the people. It's just amazing how that all works. Anyway, I want to move to this. So you got violence in the streets. You got credibility crisis for Newsweek and a collector's item saying Hillary won when she didn't. They lied. They even printed the issue relating to it. But Donald Trump, back in October, gave an incredible speech where he talked about his first 100 days in office. It's called Donald Trump's Contract with the American Voter. And in this, he says, what follows is my 100-day plan to restore honesty, accountability, and change to Washington. Therefore, and he talks about on the first day of my first day in office, what I'm going to push for and what I'm going to do in the first 100 days. He said, my administration in the first day will immediately pursue the following with a goal to clean up the corruption and special interest collusion in Washington. There's six measures. Number one, propose a constitutional amendment to impose term limits on all member of Congress. What do you think about that, Michael?
Well, you know, there are a lot of people out there that think that's a good idea, and I don't have a problem with it, although I doubt it would get through because the consequences to liberal states. I mean, you have to pass a constitutional amendment. Number one, it has to pass the House and Senate overwhelmingly. Then it has to be ratified by three-fourths of the state's legislatures in the country. If you look at states like New York, and California and Maryland, the traditional liberal far left states, they're not going to go for this because they want to maintain Democrat control of Congress. Eventually, they want to get it back, and then they want to lock it in if they can. So I don't think it'll pass, but I think he needs to go ahead and propose it. He said he's going to do it, and so go forward with it. And I think there, you know, a lot of conservatives out there will support it. We're tired of the corruption in Washington, D.C. People showed that in this election. They're tired of the corruption. They're tired of the establishment, whether they be Democrats or Republicans, looking down on the rest of us and saying, you're just the unwashed masses. We will do what we want to do. You have to keep voting for us because we tell you to. We're going to discard your constitutional rights, and we're going to ignore what you really want, but we're going to continue in power because we are the establishment, we are the elite, we're smarter than you are. And that's what, you know, that's what Hillary kept telling people during this election, and that's what the mainstream media kept telling people. I got so tired of hearing the mainstream media, including Fox News pundits, who were saying that the people voting for Trump were, in general, uneducated white men. Well, I've got 2 degrees, including a law degree. I was supporting Donald Trump. I didn't support him in the primaries. I initially supported Ted Cruz. But when Donald Trump got the nomination, I got on board. I don't consider myself uneducated, but I also don't look down on people who do not have college degrees, because they may be blue-collar workers, they may be miners. It doesn't matter. They're Americans. And the idea that this was a class warfare that was going on by Hillary Clinton and by the Democrats and by the liberal media, and it was ultimately class warfare, that, you know, if you are white and what we consider uneducated, you are deplorable.
They tried to make it like white people were the enemy. White men that were haters of women, that were racist, that were uneducated. They really tried to paint this picture. It's kind of like how they treat dads on TV. You know, the guy's a buffoon, the guy's an idiot, he never has anything good to say, he doesn't know what's going on, he's either missing or an idiot. You know, he's certainly a nerd. He's everything they could possibly paint white American males as they did. It was tragic, to say the least. What do you think, Kurt? I have a little bit of a concern about term limits, only because, again, I don't know that we ought to govern by creating more and more and more amendments. We hardly even obey the amendments we have. Not that I disagree with the idea that we need to stop them in some way. I personally think elections are term limits in and of themselves, as the founders intended. It's not working out well because they've absolutely controlled the ballot box, controlled the voting. They've created laws to where they can basically stay in office forever. So something needs to be done. I'm not really fond of the idea, but I would say maybe we're left with no choice. But I don't know if a constitutional amendment will even go anywhere anyway. And even if it does, will they obey it? Kurt?
Well, you know, I think you outlined it very well in just those few words about it, Sam. I don't know much more that I could add. I mean, I would just echo that, I think, and then maybe say this, that at least the one thing that would be nice if he'd do it is he said he would do it, and he's supposed to do what he says.
Yeah, that's right. And I also say, you know, I mean, before you know it, we'll get a balanced budget amendment. Pretty soon we'll be up for a constitutional convention, which I completely reject. So that's my concern. I'd like to see him do it, though, because we do need to stop the politicians from creating an insider trading scenario where nobody can stop them. And that seems to be what has literally happened. All right, so that's number one. Number two, he says, I'm going to put together a hiring freeze on all federal employees to reduce the federal workforce through attrition, exempting military, public safety, and public health. Michael?
Well, that's essentially what Ronald Reagan did when he became president. He started cutting the number of federal agencies, cutting the number of federal employees, and the economy did a remarkable response to it, remarkable recovery. I hope Donald Trump goes through with this, because we have too many agencies out there duplicating each other's work. We have too many agencies out there regulating American businesses to death.
All right, hold on, crew. Michael Connolly, our guest, USJF.net. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live. We're talking about Donald Trump's first 100 days in office.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
News this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Augusto Amador, a city councilman from the East Ward of Newark, New Jersey, is exasperated by the flagrant lawlessness of residents who insist on feeding the homeless without government permission. A city ordinance enacted in 1966 requires anyone who distributes food, candy, or chewing gum to get a $5 permit from the city's health officers, notes the Newark Star-Ledger. Amador has taken the initiative to crack down on unauthorized acts of kindness by developing a new permit process and expanding enforcement of the ordinance, supposedly for the purpose of enhancing what he calls the dignity of the recipients, which apparently only comes about through government intervention. It's not fair to the homeless that they are being served food without any scrutiny whatsoever, Amador complained to the newspaper. Councilmember Gail Cheneyfield Jenkins suggests that absent the benign compulsion exercised by the city's political class, somebody could come down and poison a bunch of people under the auspices of giving away food. Every good deed is not in this day and age, with all the hate we see going on. Jenkins offered no evidence that such a thing has ever happened. Reason magazine points out that the city councilwoman's perspectives on private efforts to feed the hungry might be distorted by her own experience as a tax feeder. She has been criticized for charging $8,000 worth of meals to the city budget in a single year and spending thousands of plundered dollars on personal vacations and other non-work-related amenities. For commentary and insights on a troubled world, visit Joel Skousen's worldaffairsbrief.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R-word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, the first 100 days for Donald Trump as president, he says he's going to have a hiring freeze on all federal employees to reduce the federal workforce. And not counting the military, public safety, and public health, it's a great start, is what Reagan did. Number three, this is my favorite one, a requirement that for every new federal regulation, two new existing regulations must be eliminated. Kurt, this is out of the playbook you and I have talked about for 20 plus years, my friend.
Well, yeah, except for I'm thinking maybe two is too little. But anyway, at least two is better than none.
Well, it's a good start, and it makes a point, though, really is what I like about it. It really says, listen, you're not going to proceed with more government. We're going to disassemble. Because if you get rid of two and you pass one, hey, hopefully some of the regulations that you propose will be, you know, less regulatory in nature as well, and you might get a three-for-one plan. The others are interesting, and I got to speed up a little bit here. Sorry, folks. A five-year ban on White House and congressional officials becoming lobbyists after they leave government service. And number five, a lifetime ban on White House officials lobbying on behalf of a foreign government. So really cutting down on lobbying. Number six, a complete ban on foreign lobbyists raising money for American elections. Boy, is he right as rain on that. He says, those are all on the first day, by the way. And on the same day, I will begin taking the following seven actions to protect American workers. First, I will announce my intention to withdraw from NAFTA or withdraw from the deal under Article 2205. Second, I will announce our withdrawal from the Trans-Pacific Partnership, or TPP. Third, I will direct my Secretary of the Treasury to label China as a currency manipulator. Fourth, I will direct the Secretary of Commerce and U.S. trade representatives to identify the foreign trade abuses that unfairly impact American workers and direct them to use every tool in their arsenal under American and international law to end these abuses immediately. Fifth, I will lift the restrictions on the production of $50 trillion plus dollars of American energy reserves, including natural gas, clean coal, an oil shale. Sixth, I will lift the Clinton roadblocks or the Clinton-Obama roadblocks and allow vital energy infrastructure projects like the Keystone Pipeline and others to move forward. Seven, I'm going to cancel billions in payments to UN climate change programs and use the money to fix America's water and environmental infrastructure. Additionally, on the first day, he will take the following five actions to restore security. But before we go on, every bit of this last part all has to do with trade and all has to do with the American people being able to deal with resources, natural resources, within the states. Really, if he does those things, Michael Connelly, I mean, can he really get that done in a day as an attorney first? And secondly, if he really does, what do you envision America will look like at that point?
Well, he can do it. Whether or not he can do it one day is, probably a matter of how much time it takes to actually write out and sign the reversal of these executive orders, which is essentially what he's going to be doing.
Yeah, now he's got 2 months to get that all together, though.
Right. He can put it all together. He can do it on the first day, and he can stop a lot of the abuses that Obama created by the executive orders. And I think it needs to go much further. And, I think he talks about this later on in his speech about what he's going to do on the first day. He needs to get rid of treaties out there. And he mentions the climate change treaty with the United Nations, stop funding that. But he also needs to throw out the Small Arms Treaty, UN Small Arms Treaty, which Obama had signed but never submitted to the United States Congress, to the U.S. Senate, for ratification.
Now, here's what he says to your point in this next area. It says this. First, cancel every unconstitutional executive action, memorandum, and order issued by President Obama.
That's critical, because President Obama abused his power repeatedly. And I've written about this in my blog. I have even mentioned it in my new patriotic novel, The Rag, about abuse of executive power. And I have talked about this repeatedly, that he has continually abused his power under the Constitution. The Constitution set up specifically three branches of government, and they were supposed to balance each other out. The legislative branch of government was set up to have a House of Representatives and a United States Senate. And the House of Representatives was given specific powers, laws they could pass, the areas where they could work in, and the Senate, the same thing was true of the Senate. The President of the United States, when they set up the executive branch, the Founding Fathers basically said, the President is tasked with enforcing the laws passed by Congress. Article 2 of the Constitution does not allow the president to make new laws. It doesn't allow him to decide which laws to enforce and which not to enforce. And it doesn't allow him to do by executive order what the Congress has refused to do. Yet Obama has done this repeatedly. And if Donald Trump is serious about righting the constitutional ship here and getting us back on course to obeying the Constitution, and he absolutely has to cancel all of the executive orders that were issued by Obama. This includes orders on immigration, orders on gun control, and he needs to get rid of the treaties that Obama has adopted, and that includes the Iranian treaty.
In other words, ladies and gentlemen, cancel every unconstitutional executive action, memorandum, and order. That's the most important line I've seen thus far. Not that the stuff above it's not good, but that alone is just, wow, staggering in its implications. The next one's interesting. He says he's going to crank up, begin the process of getting a replacement for Antonin Scalia that's pro-life and that will be constitutional on the court. Then next, third, cancel all federal funding to sanctuary cities. Fourth, begin removing the more than 2 million criminal, illegal immigrants from the country and cancel visas to foreign countries that won't take them back. Fifth, suspend immigration entirely from terror-prone regions where vetting cannot safely occur. All vetting of people coming into this country will be considered extreme vetting. I mean, it's just beyond imagination if he really does this stuff, Michael.
It is, but everything he's talking about doing is absolutely necessary.
Without question.
I mean,
Without question, no doubt about it.
Yeah, you know, we have to do what he's talking about doing, and we have to have a president who is willing to stand up to other countries and stand up to the liberals in Congress and say, this is what I'm going to do, and this is what I'm going to do constitutionally. And to me, the most important thing in this election was the Supreme Court, because as a constitutional lawyer, we at the United States Justice Foundation, we go out and we fight every day to protect our constitutional rights of Americans. And that includes the Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms. That includes First Amendment right to free speech, freedom of religion, freedom of the press, the Fifth Amendment right to due process. We are in the federal courts all over the country every day doing this. It's very expensive. It's very time consuming, but we're doing it and we're winning in courts. We've won some significant cases lately, but the Supreme Court has been a blocking force since Anthony Scalia died. Anthony Scalia, he was the true constitutionalist on the court. He believes, as I do, that the Constitution means what it says and says what it means. And he believed that, and we've lost him. And my fear was that if Hillary Clinton got in, she would not only support a far leftist to the Supreme Court, but would have an opportunity to appoint others to the Supreme Court.
Well, literally, this has saved the court from absolute destroying the country for literally decades in the future, right?
Exactly. We were looking at generations before we would have the Supreme Court back again, if ever. And the damage that they could do, for example, the Heller opinion, which I helped work on the case, the Heller opinion where the Supreme Court decided that the Second Amendment, in fact, says what it means, and that is that the right to keep and bear arms is an individual right for all Americans in this country.
All right, hang tight. Michael Connelly with us, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry, we got these hard breaks coming up. Back in a flash, you are listening to Michael Connelly, USJF.net on your radio.
Attention, Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
This is Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and I want to introduce you to Numana Storable Foods. This is the first brand of storable foods that I am willing to put my name behind. It's food you can trust. No GMOs, no MSG, no chemical preservatives, and no fake meat. Plus, Numana doesn't just make that claim. They back it up with independent evaluation and testing. Another thing that Numana really does that excites me is the delicious vegetarian options. If your standards are as high as mine, I can confidently tell you that Numana Storable Foods are the quality choice that you've been waiting for. Numana won't just meet your expectations, they will exceed them. And that's why we're thrilled to have the good guys from Numana joining the Power Hour family. Go to powerprepper.com and learn about Numana Storable Foods. You can also call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Numana, the storable food you'll love to eat.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, I'm going to let you finish up on Heller, though. You were talking about you worked on that case, and it really laid out that the right to keep and bear arms, hey, it's not some just general idea. It's an individual right, Michael.
Oh, absolutely. And that was something that Hillary totally opposed. She wanted to destroy that. She wanted to reverse the Heller decision. And now we have a president of the United States who will support that decision and who will support putting justices on the Supreme Court that believe in the Constitution, and justices that will stop future presidents from issuing executive orders that create laws or deciding they're not going to enforce certain laws, like Obama did repeatedly and Hillary would have clearly done if she had been elected to office. So the Supreme Court, to me, is paramount. And if Obama can support, I mean, if Obama's court can be reversed, I mean, the people he put on there, let's face it, were far left and continue to be far left. If Trump will reverse that, then we will have the opportunity to have Republicans control all three branches of government. And that is very, very important because that's something that hasn't happened in many, many years. And we will have a solid majority on the court because we're not just looking at one situation here where justice is going to be appointed. I suspect there will be, Ginsburg will probably resign sometime in the next 4 years. I think Kennedy is going to resign in the next 4 years. So there's two more justices that Trump will be able to appoint. Now, here's a key, though. Here's a key factor. Mitch McConnell has got to step up to the plate.
Now they got to somehow mutiny and reject him because he can't do it, sir. He will not do it.
Well, you know, we've got to put the pressure on McConnell.
Amen. McConnell's going to be the biggest, in my opinion, blockade that we've got.
Besides Ryan, you mean?
Well, I don't know. I almost think Mitch McConnell is even more critical than Ryan.
Because
Ryan's at least speaking out and saying, hey, you know what, I'm willing to work with Donald, and I think a lot of what he wants to do we can do and everything else. Mitch is not doing anything, and really, if he locks down the Senate, a lot of things might even pass the House and then go nowhere.
Well, that's my concern, and I have said this repeatedly, that the Senate is allowed under the Constitution to make its own rules, but it's not allowed to violate the Constitution. The Senate was set up by the Founding Fathers to be the upper chamber of the Congress and to pass laws or reject laws on the basis of majority vote. And then you had this cloture rule put in there where it requires 60 senators to vote to even allow something to come to the Senate floor to be voted on. Now, Harry Reid, when Obama, the Republicans were blocking Obama's appointments to the executive branch of government or the courts, Harry Reid did what they called the nuclear option, which basically said majority vote will work. We're going to go back to the majority vote. I think they never should have left it. I think the Senate was wrong in ever doing this, and I've read all the reasons why, and I understand the reasoning behind it, but I believe it to be unconstitutional.
Amen to that. Now, an example is this, is Obamacare. I don't know why they call it Obamacare, because the House of Representatives funds it all the time. But they literally voted over and over in the House to reject it, to get rid of it, and the Senate basically never took it anywhere, and so we didn't gain ground. This is my fear about Mitch McConnell. I think Paul Ryan can be forced to go along with a lot of good things. I don't know if Mitch can or not. He's got a group of people up there that absolutely runs, in my opinion, tyrannical, sir.
Well, I think the outcry among the American people, if he allows the liberals in the Senate to block any Supreme Court appointments, because this is what the Clinton administration was gearing up to do. They were going to go forward with liberal appointments to the Supreme Court, and they were going to do this major outcry, well, the Republicans are blocking it, the Republicans are being unreasonable here, and we're going to go with a nuclear option. And it was going to be a tremendous propaganda effort here. I think Mitch McConnell needs to face the same thing from us, from conservatives, and that is that if Harry Reid can invoke the so-called nuclear option, then you can do that. You have to do that. You have to save the Supreme Court. You cannot allow it to continue to be 4-4 out there on the Supreme Court, 4 Republican appointees, 4 Democrat appointees. Of course, when it comes to Republican appointees, like Kennedy and Roberts, they're both kind of iffy on a lot of issues.
They are, however, if they know that the, I don't know, winds are prevailing in a certain direction, they're likely to go along with that direction, too. I think that's the problem, is they have no backbone or integrity to stand for the supreme law. But I believe if things are really going in the right direction, they'll jump aboard on a lot of good things, though.
Well, I think they will, but they would. If there's only 4 of them, it's 4-4, then it really is meaningless, because they can't really decide anything. All they can do is allow lower courts to make decisions and let those decisions stand
right
by a 4-4 deadlock. And that's something that really concerns me, because of the fact that the lower courts, and we have to remember that Trump is not going to just be appointing Supreme Court justices. He's going to be appointing district court justices and court of appeal justices. And we at the United States Justice Foundation, we do a lot of work in the court of appeals around the country.
And by the way, are you going to be able to put together a list of who you think ought to be some of these mid-level judges and everything else that Donald can review? Because he needs help there, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We've done that in the past. And, you know, we will be going to testify on Capitol Hill on behalf of any appointees he makes, hopefully to the Supreme Court. Obviously, if we don't think he's appointing the right person, we're not going to support it. But I think based on the list that he's put forward so far, I think he has a good grasp of the people who need to be on the Supreme Court.
Who do you think you would propose first? In other words, he's got a vacancy to fill now. Who would you float first to do it?
Well, I'm getting old and I'm going brain dead in a lot of areas. There's a woman on the D.C. Court of Appeals. I think it's the Seventh Circuit, actually. It's the D.C. who is a solid constitutionalist, and he has done good work, and I think she would be the first appointment we should make, because I think she will be a great counterbalance to Sotomayor and Kagan and, you know, the liberals that have been appointed.
Kurt, look that up really quick while Michael's talking, to see if we can get this woman's name. That or Mike Lee's brother. What's his name, Kurt?
Mr. Lee?
Yeah, good. Anyway, Mike Lee's brother might be a good one, too. I don't have the list in front of me, and I don't remember their names either. But there's
you got
few
Napolitano.
People.
What about him? You've got
Judge Andrew. Judge Jeanine Shapiro. What do you think of those guys, Michael?
Huh?
What about Judge Napolitano?
Oh, well, yeah, he would be great. And I would love to see him on the court. I think he would be a good choice. So we have, bottom line is, there are a lot of good people out there. There are a lot of solid conservative judges. There are a lot of solid conservative lawyers. There are conservative attorney generals around the country who could make great fits for the Supreme Court. The key is getting Mitch McConnell to find some backbone and step forward and say, look, we're going to do what the Constitution requires us to do. We're going to vote on issues like this by majority vote. We're not going to allow some rule that was created by the elitists in the Senate to say that, you know, we don't have to make decisions. We're going to, you know, punt everything down the road by putting in this cloture rule, and we're going to keep everybody in the Senate happy, and we're going to keep us in power. And Mitch McConnell has got to do the right thing here. If he doesn't, then we need to make sure that he is not reelected to the Senate next time.
Amen to that. Now, this is kind of the last question. We're about out of time. Time sure flies when you're talking about important stuff. You know, this.
Then you got Ted Cruz, too, on the Supreme Court. That was the other, you know, one big one, at least.
That's
that
a good point.
Might be considered.
All right, so you've got this great agenda by Donald Trump. I don't agree with every bit of it perfectly, but you know what? A lot of it sounds really good, and if he gets even a portion of it done, it would be tremendous. How much do you think he can really get done? Can he really get a lot of this done, and do you think he will, number two?
Well, number one, I think that he could definitely cancel all of the executive orders issued by Obama, and that's going to be a great thing in and of itself, because that will reverse a lot of the more disastrous policies on energy and this sort of thing. I think he can also get rid of the treaties that Obama refused to submit to the Senate, such as the Small Arms Treaty and the Climate Control Treaty, and also the Iranian Treaty, which was supposedly passed by Congress, but it was passed illegally because it was not supposed to be set up so that Congress could pass it. Well, actually, they never passed it. They were given an opportunity to vote against it, but then Obama could override the negative vote with a veto, which is totally outside the Constitution. So I think Trump can get rid of that, too.
Do you think he will?
A lot of things he can do. I think he will, yeah.
Well,
he will, and I believe him.
All right. Hopefully you can provide some support and some help, Michael Connelly, and we'll chat soon about the unfolding of this. It's going to be epic to watch, to say the least, huh?
Sounds good. Looking forward to it, Sam.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate you. Michael Connelly, ladies and gentlemen, usjf.net. I also wanted to ask Michael, but we're out of time. Are they really going to, you know, put Hillary in jail like we need to? That's one of the next things that absolutely needs to happen. Wow. All right, Sam and Kurt are going to break down this 100-day idea from Donald Trump here in a minute and get our take and thoughts. I'll brief you on the rest of the plan and more. 1 hour in the can, second hour coming up. This nation shall endure.